Pendulum out of the Big Free FM, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. Sitting here with the lovely and talented head nurse, Michael Goodeau.
Howdy.
Because we are doing Ask Layperson Penn today. Call up with any questions you have on anything, and we'll do our best, humbly, to answer them. I also want to explain something to you. The show will be much more Howard Stern right here, because I'm drinking, I usually drink tea.
Yeah.
What's the news, Robin? I'm drinking seltzer now because I'm getting my teeth whitened. Because I'm doing, I'll talk about this later, but I'm doing a TV primetime show. And my wife thinks that I should have whiter teeth for this job. So I'm getting my teeth whitened, and the dentist said after I get this bleach and stuff on them, I'm not supposed to drink tea. I don't smoke. I don't drink much coffee, but I do drink tea, you know, every morning on the show. So now I'm drinking seltzer, and it's carbonated. So you'll be getting belches along with your advice. I should just be drinking plain water, shouldn't I?
You should drink water.
Yeah, would solve all the problems. But right now I have seltzer in front of me, so we'll go with that. Let's see a few phone calls. This is Ask. Boy, the phones light up completely. We are filled with phone calls. People have questions that we're going to try to answer. I want to stress again, we have no special abilities. We have no training. I finished high school on a plea bargain.
As did I.
No college whatsoever. Any college for you, Goodell?
Clown College.
Clown College for me, too.
I went to college for a short time studying to become a park ranger.
But you park ranger studies, but we are two guys who've been around the block a few times. We've been on the road a lot, traveled all over the world. We've met a few people. We'll give our best to give you advice on anything. Let's talk to Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hey, is this Dr. Penn?
Well, it's actually the layperson Penn, but go ahead.
All right, very good. Hey, I got a question for you. So we're leaving Connecticut right now, and we're stuck in just balls traffic, and we need some ideas on what to do in the car for the next 9 hours.
Okay. You have, I assume you have a CD player?
There's a CD player, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, next time you get a chance to get off at like a Barnes & Noble or something, and find yourself a book on tape or on DVD, on CD of Moby Dick. The first 9 hours of Moby Dick. Moby Dick to listen to in the car is 24 hours. 9 hours one way, 9 hours the other. You'll be most of the way through. Moby Dick is a wonderful thing. You can listen to it during the breaks and chapter changes. You can discuss it. It's terrific. Books on tape is the complete answer. Unless there are people in the car that you find sexually attractive and it's within your morality, and then it's always good to have sex in a car during traffic.
Well, you know, I hate to interrupt you, but the Feynman lectures on physics are available also.
Also, the Feynman lectures on physics. Surely you're joking, Mr. Feynman, would be a great thing to listen to. Books on tape is the way to go.
Even with three people in the car, we're kind of looking for some games instead of listening.
Those games, how old are you?
29.
Yeah, you're too old for
the games.
You're
not going to play the alphabet?
You can't do the games. You can't do the games. You got to do something. The thing about books on tape is with music, you will not be able to agree on it, and it won't really get conversation started. With a good, strong book on tape and high quality, not jive, unless you want to go with Jim Thompson or something, I found for long trips, and we're guys that have spent, how much time have you spent traveling from gig to gig?
8 million.
Thousands and thousands of hours I've spent. And the best times in a car, in traffic for a long time with a group of people have been books on tape. I really say that very strongly. And of course, by books on tape, I mean on CD. And read. And I would. My first suggestion is always Moby Dick, because Moby Dick will get you and your friends talking about. I know you're going to a football game. I don't know about football, but it'll still get you talking about bigger issues that you really should talk about. I say books on tape, and I can't back down from that.
Okay, well, then I have a second part of the question.
Sure,
since
sure.
We are going to the football game, and I told you that I'm 28, and I'm here with my fat 32-year-old friend, Carl.
Okay, so sex is probably out of the question.
Sex is out of the question.
Well, actually, on a 9-hour, let me just tell you, on a 9-hour ride, sex is out of the question. On a 32-hour ride, he's starting to look good. I got to tell you, because Goodeau and I have traveled a lot, and you'd be surprised what starts looking good on the road after a while. But go on.
I was just going to say, if you had any suggestions for my friend Carl in order to get with some of the girl-on-girl action with the college women.
A 29-year-old?
No, he's 32.
32-year-old fat guy at a football game, and you're telling me how he can do a threesome with two other girls?
Well, he doesn't have to be two other. I'm just saying, you're the doctor.
What's that?
You're the doctor.
Yeah, I know. This is a really tough one. But you're asking me how a 32-year-old guy at a football game can get laid?
That seems like cash. Seems like
flat
a large
cash,
amount of...
I think it's only large cash that'll do that. I mean, a football game is your very, very bad choice. But you know a very good place to pick up sex partners is at that Barnes & Noble when you go in to buy your CD set of Moby Dick, which I know you're not going to do. You wanted me to say, play the game of who that guy sitting in the car there, what's he really do for a living, who's the spy, and you wanted me to play like all the license
right,
plate
like,
games.
Like find the nose picker kind
yeah,
of
find the nose picker. Yeah, I don't think that'll hold up for you. But then again, it might for 9 hours. But
what's your trade up? What's your trade up game? Don't you play a trade up game?
I don't know if you can play this. Are you in traffic so you can see people in their cars?
Yeah, we're in traffic in New York right now.
Well, you could play trade up, and trade up is a really really fun game. I used to play it all the time on the road. If you can see people clearly, you
right.
have to. Within like 15 seconds from now, looking around in all the cars, each of you have to choose someone you want to have sex with. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And then you have to declare it. You can't have the same person. So the first one in matters. And then you have to keep trading up. So remember very clearly who you each started with. And then try to see in a now 9 hour ride how high you can trade up. It's kind of like deal or no deal, because if you get up too high, then trading up becomes very, very difficult. But the trade up game, the best place in the world to play trade up is on the boardwalk in Atlantic City outside one of the casinos. I have played with men and women in big groups, and trade up is great because after 3 hours, when you're in public, the inhibitions go away and you go, her, I want to do her. And then you realize that you're yelling to try to beat your friend on it, and it's a very, very cool thing. So I would say trade up, books on tape, and if you go more than 9 hours, your friend's going to start looking good. Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you. I meant to hang up on Dave, but I actually did something else. Did I do something bad? I think I might have done something
did
bad.
Did you hang up on everybody?
No, but I think I opened up the other set of lines or something. It's I want a little drink of seltzer.
Take a seltzer. Just relax for a sec.
Everything's okay. What did I do with the second lines there? The whole second line started. Okay, that's no big deal. Okay, what line do you want me to take here? You got a suggestion? Okay, let's talk to Justin. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, Penn?
I'm doing very well, thank you, sir. What's your question? Anything you want?
My question is, I have a friend. I've been friends with her for a long time, and she's got a boyfriend now that's a complete...
We know what he is, yeah. Go ahead.
And I want them to break up. How do I do that?
Okay, how long have you been going out?
7 months now.
Oh, so it's a little bit more serious. And is he kind of is he very attractive? Is he sexy?
No, not really.
Not really. And what is his worst quality from your point of view?
He's very angry all the time.
Very angry all the time. How old is he?
29.
How old is she?
24.
And what is the best quality that she sees in him? Does she like the anger?
No, actually, she hates the anger. I guess she has no one else to. She has no one else to hang out with, I guess.
Now, why aren't you involved with her?
Oh, because she's dated one of my best friends 3 times, so I'm just friends with her.
But it's not going to move into a relationship. Would you like to be in a relationship with her?
Yes.
Okay, so your point is, how do you get rid of that guy and get yourself jockeying into position, right?
Exactly.
Okay, first thing, we're going to mostly go with do not, okay? Do not be the nice guy who gets mercy sex. Do not be with her when she needs you. Don't take her to movies. Don't be the nice guy so she goes to him for sex and relationship and she goes to you to fall back on. You have to keep that distinction. Be her friend, hang out with her, but don't allow her to use you as a fallback or she won't take you seriously as a possibility. This is the hardest thing you're going to ever do. But what happens is you can get yourself in a relationship, and I had a girlfriend who did this with every boyfriend she had. She would be so comfortable and cool hanging out that she got rid of all the sexual tension. Is that another call? That's sort of like Dr. Laura you're asking advice of too, is that right?
That's actually my work phone.
You want to get that?
No, that's
okay,
that's
all right. Because you could. We could also answer the call from your work phone, too. So do not get yourself in the position of the nice guy. I don't mean don't be nice to her. Of course, you'd be very nice to her. And as far as the other guy, if he's really a bad guy, let it play out its course. patience is the whole thing here, unless she's getting into stuff that's really sick. He doesn't do anything that actually violates morality, right? He doesn't hurt her. He doesn't lie to her. He doesn't do anything like that. Is that right?
Last weekend he locked her out of his house and actually had to sit outside with her while he was inside.
Okay, well, this is much more serious than I thought then. This is just, you need to do. Have you tried saying to her, this guy's bad news? Have you just said that outright?
Yes.
And what does she say?
And she says, yeah, I know, but she doesn't listen. She's very stubborn.
Very stubborn. Any ideas, Goodell?
Yeah, don't go out with her. If she's stubborn and going out with somebody else, I think you might be better off going to find somebody else.
There you go.
It's time to spread your wings, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know, at a certain point, if she's only going to be with people who are bad for her, then she may be bad for you. You know, I remember once Sam Kennison was talking about all the women and all the bad things they'd done to him. And Bobcat Goldthwait said, let me see, what do these women who are so bad have in common? Is it their economic background? No. Is it their family? No. Is it regional? No. Is it their education? No. It's him! It's him! So if she's involved with someone who's clearly bad news and she can't get herself out of it, you cannot be the one she falls back on, because it may be her that's the problem. What I would say is pull back. Go out with other people. Go out with your friends. Let her dangle for a while. If things are bad and she wises up, she'll come to you. And if she doesn't, you've got to move on. Because you have to. You know, have you ever flown an airplane, right?
Yes.
You know, you pull out that card. There's that card that gives you a little thing that says, put your own mask on before helping others. You know, it says that? Put your own oxygen mask on before helping others. You've got to remember that, Justin. Put your own mask on before helping others. Make sure that you are happy, that you are filling your time with really pleasant, cool things. Make sure you're going out with people who really care for you and don't suck all your energy. And then you can try to help her. But if you're sitting outside some ass's house with a girl that he's treating badly, you're making the mistake, not her.
All right. Well,
okay,
thank you, man.
That's what I say. You turned that
around. That was harsh.
You turned that around, Gooder. Is it too harsh?
No, I don't think it was too harsh. I think it was the right harsh.
Yeah. You have to be careful, you know, because a lot of times people who try to help others before they've got themselves together can do real damage to both themselves and the other person.
Well, if you're both sitting outside of this guy's house, you're really blowing it. You know what I mean? That just seems like a terrible thing to do.
Terrible, terrible thing to do. You should be going somewhere else and having sex.
Absolutely. You should get in the car and head out of town.
By the way, I want to give credit to that. My mother-in-law, who's coincidentally my wife's mother, when my wife, Easy, was going through a time when she was helping everyone else but not taking care of herself, she sent my wife, her mother sent her, cut out of an airport airplane emergency card. She cut out the part about put your own mask on before helping others.
That's illegal.
And just sent it to her in an envelope.
Great.
That's all it said.
Wow.
You know, no explanation, no nothing, but make sure your mask is firmly in place before helping others. And I thought that was so cool that I cut it out of one of the cards and put it up on my computer screen. I had that for a while. And on the frame of my flat screen, I had that up there. And it really is inspiring, you know, when you just think that before I can do anything to help Moxie or Zoltan or my wife or you or my sister or anybody, I have to have my own mask in place and I have to be breathing comfortably, and then I can help you. And that's more true emotionally than it is, it's also more true financially than it is, than it even is on an airplane. Because those masks never work. You know how many people have been saved by the oxygen masks in airplanes?
I don't. Is it zero?
No, it's negative. Because one of the flights that blew up because they were carrying that oxygen in the wrong place.
Ah.
So it actually has helped no one. If your plane is crashing, it's going to go down to a place where you can breathe. The oxygen masks are complete jive, complete bulls.
Unless you're the pilot.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about the passenger compartment.
Right, okay.
Yeah, you don't need those masks at all. They've never, ever saved anyone. Now, what do you want? Line four. Okay, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say the line number. It makes us look very unprofessional, doesn't it?
So they're trying to kill time.
So nothing new. Nothing new that we look a little bit unprofessional. I'm drinking a seltzer. Is the belching getting anyone?
No.
It is. It's a very Howard Stern experience. I just have this incredible urge to drink Snapple. Yeah, I got to be very careful of the teeth. I want the teeth to be white. I want to be like Wink Martindale. That's the kind of teeth I need to have for this. Yeah, vanilla Snapple. Let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris, you've got a layperson Penn on the phone. What do you want to ask? Me and Godot together, we'll try it. And if we can't handle it, we'll throw it over to Patrick and Happy Jack.
Awesome. All right. So, I have recently decided to apply to graduate school. And possibly because of the late date that I decided to apply it, I'm having trouble collecting recommendations. And I'm wondering if there was any chance you could write me a celebrity recommendation, graduate.
Sure, we can do that. What do you want to go to graduate school for?
I'm going to go for sociology.
You fool!
Hey.
Where do you want to go?
I'm looking at a few schools, mostly in the New York area, either Rutgers or Hunter or possibly Columbia or NYU.
We've played Rutgers, Columbia, and NYU. Have you played to those schools?
I have not played any of those schools.
Did you burn any bridges while there?
No,
they like you?
Surprisingly enough.
Before you answer this, I just want to ask if he heard the caller earlier who said he was a history major and couldn't get a good job.
Yeah, we have a guy who has a job that he hates because he was a history major. And what you're going to go to graduate school for your master's or your doctorate?
I'm going to try to go for my doctorate.
Oh, cool. Going to go all the way.
And what's your plan once you get it?
I would like to become a professor.
Huh.
So you want to teach others. So you're running.
Yeah.
You're really running a Ponzi scheme. you want to get others involved in a pyramid scheme. Sure.
Exactly.
Write to penradio@gmail.com. Here's what I ask you to do. This is what's very, very important, Chris. Write to penradio@gmail.com and write up the letter of recommendation you think I should write. Put in all your information, put in everything else, and then Godot will send it to me, and I will punch it up. I'll put it in my style, okay, my style, and then I will put it on Penn & Teller stationery, and I'll send it to you in an envelope, and you can pass it on that way, okay?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Let me remind you of one thing. A friend of mine who I met asked me to do a recommendation when they were applying to graduate school at MIT. And I wrote up a recommendation letter, which I was told was read out loud in front of all the, whatever it is, Board of Regents or something, whoever it is that makes that
right,
decision.
Yeah.
It was read out loud in front of like 15 people in the room, and it said, "If you don't let this guy into graduate school, you must answer me one question in writing. Are you on crack?" That was my final line. So when I write recommendation letters, I write them very, very strong. So tell me some stuff. I'll do what I can. I'll get your recommendation. We aim to please here on the Penn Jillette Show. Thanks so much, Chris. And we'll be back after this, 866-570-PEN, 7366. It's Ask Layperson Penn. You got a question? We got an answer, goddammit. We are in midstream, and we are not changing horses, that is for sure. It's still Layperson Penn with head nurse Michael by my side here. 866-570-PEN, 7366. Now, the way Layperson Penn works, we've done them before on the show, is you ask any question, we do our best to answer it. Once you know that we have no qualifications whatsoever. We are lay people. We are dropouts. We have had whatever success we've had you know about. We went to clown college, and we've been on the road together, I would say hundreds of thousands of miles, right?
Hundreds of thousands of miles.
So we know a little bit about traveling around the world, and especially the USA. We will do our absolute best to answer your question. Let's take Mike. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. Hey, Dr. Penn.
I'm actually Layperson Penn, but go ahead. What's your question?
Well, first of all, I bought stock today. It's a great book, and I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks.
I thought he bought stock. I'm sorry.
No, stock.
I thought
novel,
he was investing money.
My novel.
He's investing in knowledge.
Yeah. So I'm a senior at Rutgers, actually, ironically.
Oh, good. This is an all-Rutgers show today. Would you say that Chris should go to Rutgers?
I don't know. I mean, if you have the choice between NYU and Rutgers, I don't know what NYU has, like, in terms of their program, but, I mean, I consider it a better school.
What are you studying here at Rutgers?
I'm studying journalism, but I don't want to go into it. But right now I'm a senior, and I've been in college for 4 years, and, you know, I've had my fun at parties and stuff like that, but I've never had a serious girlfriend ever.
Okay.
And I kind of, like, I've had the opportunity maybe once or twice in my life, but it's never kind of panned out. And I'm wondering if you have any advice as to how to make it work next time.
I certainly do. I have a lot of advice on this. Now, you're not having trouble getting laid. You're not like a virgin. It's not a question of having sex. It's a question of a serious girlfriend, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've fooled around. I've had sex a few times.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if that's too, you know, personal or whatever.
No, well, we're not going to go into too much detail on this. I don't need to make you spill your guts out. We can still talk about your question. So your question really has to do with you're lonely and would like someone to be more of a life partner for you. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I've never gone out with a girl more than, like, 2 weeks. You know what I mean? And that's so.
Have you broken it off, or have they?
It's sort of just, you know, like, we went on a few dates and, you know, something came of it, but it never materialized. I mean, maybe I chickened out or whatever, but it never kind of happened. You know, we became friends, you know, like that kind of thing.
And you stayed friends, but it didn't remain girlfriends, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for a while, then, you know, it's kind of awkward, you know, after you went out and then, like, you're not,
sure.
You know, now you're friends, so.
Now, do you believe that the problem is just compatibility, sexual or emotional?
I think it's a bit of emotional incompatibility, you know, like, I've never had a serious girlfriend before, so it's hard for me to sort of, you know what to expect or, you know, I'm nervous.
Do you argue about intellectual ideas?
No, not really.
Not really. So it's not the problem. See, for years, I didn't have a steady girlfriend because I'm such a nut and a whack job that, you know, we'd fight about astrology, or we'd fight about God, or we'd fight about politics, and I would not in any way abandon any of those. So I had to wait until I found the perfect woman, who was my wife, who started out. I mean, before she met me, she agreed with me on those things. But your problem is not philosophical or intellectual. Your problem has to do with you're just a little bit afraid to really spend a lot of time with somebody, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. I want to really badly, but it's hard, you know?
Okay, well, I think what you've got to do, my advice, and back me up on this, Guno.
Okay,
No, I mean, if I'm wrong, Gwen, I think that his problem is probably he's just being too careful. What you've got to do is the next relationship you're in, try to let her know that you're an absolute loser, freak, nut, whack job. Everything bad about you, let her know. What you're afraid of, I think, is you're afraid of just opening up, and you're afraid you're going to find out stuff about yourself that will embarrass you. It's really easy to have sex. A relationship means you have to open yourself up to be a fool. And I think you have to be, unless, of course, you're the kind of person that's not having a relationship because you're wearing your heart in your sleeve. You don't listen to, like, emo bands, do you?
No, I hate emo bands.
What kind of music you listen to?
I listen to a lot of Sabbath, Zeppelin.
Okay, fine then. Forget about that. That's not a problem. My original advice goes fine. I was just afraid all of a sudden I was going to hear that I'm talking to some emo guy, and he's, you know, listening to Bright Eyes or something, and he's there going, I love you. Can't we spend? Okay, don't be doing that stuff. But what I mean is you need to just be more yourself, loosen up, and you've got to not worry about it. There are 6 billion people on the planet. You are perfectly willing to have sex with 2 billion of them. So what you've got to remember is you can fail, crash and burn, lose. It's the most important advice anyone can give you on anything. You have to lose in order to be successful. If you're going to do shows, you have to do shows that suck. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to try to debate, you got to do debates that suck. Whatever you're going to try to do, you have to suck, 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 which is such good advice with sex. And you have to make sure that when you're in a relationship with somebody that you are willing to have her say, who is this fool, you know? So play her the Black Sabbath. Sing along with it. Sing along with Ozzy. Talk about your Zeppelin. Talk about what you're learning in school. Talk about journalism. And just find somebody that will open up when you do that. You can't be guarded and protect yourself and also have a relationship. What you mostly want to do is share life with somebody, and you can't share if you're going to be guarded. Okay?
All right, thanks a lot.
You don't think it's zhuzh? Maybe he just hasn't found somebody with the right zhuzh?
What's zhuzh?
Zhuzh, you know, just that spark that just keeps it going. It seems to me that when you meet someone and it's going to continue going, you don't make that choice. It just happens.
Well, that's true, too. But in the meantime, in order to let that happen, being yourself is the way to let that.
Okay.
You know, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that that's right. But I just think that maybe he hasn't found the person that motivates him to do that.
That's true. That's true. You have to. There is this.
You'll fall into that box when the day comes.
The worst advice you can ever get in the world is that you're supposed to work on relationships and you're supposed to bend. Do not work. Do not bend. You know? Be yourself, and the person, when the person's right, you will know it.
You'll fall in the box,
you're
man.
You're kind of making a face. What are you saying?
No, I'm saying when the time is right, there's not a question. You don't mess around.
You know, that is such good advice. You will meet somebody, and you will not have a choice. She or he will knock you just dead. I guess you wanted a girlfriend, so she is proper. But they will just knock you on your ass. You won't have a choice. Just don't be afraid when it happens. And also, don't be afraid to, you know, tell people about yourself and open up. If they think you're a loser, if they get rid of you, that's fine. You know, there's nobody on the planet that isn't thought of as a loser by many, many people. Certainly not by me. Okay, so thank you so much, Mike. That was an okay call.
That's a good call.
You got any
good advice for me?
Did you send me anything?
No, I didn't.
No? Okay.
I'm not forwarding stuff to you. I have it all right here.
Okay, well, go ahead. Take it over.
Okay, if you want to hear this one.
Want to take a few Gmails here?
Are you set? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want you to take a little drink. Just sit back. Layperson Penn, can you please explain to me what quantum mechanics is?
Sure. Quantum mechanics. Newton with physics.
Yeah.
And Einstein and Hawking with astrophysics.
Yeah.
Dealt with stuff that deals with our world. We just drop this bottle cap, it falls down. We can quantify the speed, we can quantify how that moves, and it tends to be the same all the time. Einstein discovered that at very, very fast speeds and very, very big distances and very, very heavy gravity, that some of the rules got a little nutty. Very, very big things got nutty. Quantum mechanics come along and tell you that things very, very little get nutty. And when they say nutty at the subatomic level, they mean nutty. Things seem to know things that happen in different places. So at that point, you can't just measure how a bottle cap falls. At a subatomic level, you have to take guesses. Schrodinger's cat is an example used for this. There's a black box. In it is a cat. There's a poison pellet in there. The cat is either alive or dead. But as soon as you open the box and you know, you can no longer do the experiment. So in the quantum level, things are done where you have to have contradictory things happening at once. That's probably not the way the world really is. We probably won't know the way the world really is until we get a unified field theory. But in the meantime, we have to take these guesses. Quantum mechanics, if it makes you feel any better. Who wrote this letter? Who am I talking to?
This is Adam.
Adam. Makes you feel any better. Very good name. Very good name for a person I know about. God. If it makes you feel any better, Einstein never really felt good about quantum mechanics. That's when he said God doesn't play dice. And he didn't, of course, mean by that any sort of Christian or Jewish or Muslim God. He was using that in the sense of nature. Doesn't play dice. Richard Feynman, who wrote an awful lot about quantum mechanics, said that not only does God play dice, he also throws the dice where you can't see them.
God cheats.
God cheats. Quantum mechanics is a subatomic level. Very complicated things happen with quirks, and you can separate them, and the charges, when one is broken down, the other one, when one is found out, the other one automatically switches to the other side. I don't know how much we want to go into this. You want to add anything to that, Gudel?
No. No, that seems pretty good.
Have I said enough?
You've said enough. It's just one of the fundamental branches of physics. Like you said, when things break down too small for Newtonian physics, then another set of rules take over, and those rules are crazy.
Really crazy.
The rules are crazy.
Just as crazy as they are, very, very.
You can't know where something is or what it weighs or any of those things. You can only predict. And when you predict or when you check your prediction, you've changed it.
The phone call you wanted to listen in on, and I heard this from Richard Feynman, is Hawking was working on a cosmology question.
Mm-hmm.
Not cosmetology. He doesn't know that much about cosmetology, but cosmology. And he called Richard Feynman from England. The phone rang. Richard Feynman picked it up. And Hawking said to Feynman, I'm afraid I need to know more about what's happening at a subatomic level. I need to know a little bit about quantum mechanics. Can you explain it to me? And they talked for 6 hours. That's the phone call we want a tape of. This is Layperson Pat. We're answering everything from how to get laid to quantum mechanics. 866-570-PEN. We're at Free FM CBS Radio. I'm Penn Jillette. That's Hedner Skudo right across from you. Gillette belching from a seltzer because my teeth have to be whitened so I can be like Richard Dawson.
You know, last time we did this, you had the teeth whitening thing. You had to eat nothing but white foods for 24 hours.
I remember that.
What a party.
I got my teeth whitened and Godot cooked me all white food. That's part of I had Nurse Godot to take care of stuff like that. We got a few more phone calls. Let's go to the Gmail box first. He's giving me hand signals. He says I have to take a phone call first. Then we'll get back to this. This is Colin. Hey, Colin, what's up, man?
Hey, Dr. Penn, and to Michael, hello, nurse.
Thank you.
It's actually layperson. Go ahead.
I just want to quickly say you gave a masterful mini dissertation on quantum mechanics.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
It was excellent. I'm a bit of a science and tech nut myself, so it was a great little encapsulation. And if any listeners want to find anything more about that, they should read any book by Dr. Michio Kaku.
I don't even know that name. Do a search there. Now, you're not giving us one of these, like, Zen nuts or something, are you?
Oh, no, absolutely not. He is a PhD. He's been at the forefront of theoretical physics for quite some time. I believe his last name is spelled K-A-K-U.
Yep, Michio Kaku.
Michio Kaku.
What are the books called? Godot's got them up here. What are the books called?
Excellent. Oh, gosh, too many to list. I mean, he's put out at least three or four.
Now, see, I know, you know, the Hawking book, the Brief History of Time, was a completely useless book. Because although Hawking's a brilliant scientist, he's not good at explaining stuff to lay people. How's this Machio guy? Ralph Machio, you said?
Michio Kaku does an excellent job of explaining things. I mean, you do have to have somewhat of a scientific bent to really get into it. I mean, I think he purposely does not try to dumb things down, which is why I enjoy his book so much.
Well, yeah, that's really good. But for some of the stuff, you know, when Feynman was alive, I would read harder books and then call Feynman with my questions. That was quite a little luxury I had.
Indeed.
To be able to still do that. But do you have a question outside of this? Do you want to just,
absolutely,
if you want to say more about quantum mechanics, you know, a person wrote in, wanted to know about that, you can help us out.
I think I've given what little bit of help I can. I want to ask what you guys think I can do to try and improve my memory. I have really bad short-term memory, specifically when my wife asks me to do things or tells me, like, we have plans for a certain date. I just have such selective memory when it comes to that stuff. And so, you know, what kind of things, you know, can I do to try and improve my memory and stop driving my wife crazy forgetting things?
Are you a pothead?
Not on a regular basis, no.
That was the question. Because that's what this is the question potheads have. If your two questions together are, how can I stop forgetting things and how can I get to the next Grateful Dead concert, I know it's a problem. You don't think that this is the use of marijuana that's destroying your short term?
Actually, no. I'll tell you that what I think is destroying my short term memory is the job that I do. I do PC tech support. I've been doing it for over 3 years now, and it's trained me to have extremely short memory. Because someone calls in, they tell me what their problem is, and I talk to them for about 30 minutes, fix their problem, and then I have to immediately wipe my memory clean, so that I can take the next call
you
and help them.
You can't be driving home going, wonder how that guy did plugging his PC into the socket. Yeah.
Oh,
I can do this, I can do this. And you can't be going, you know, I saw, I'm embarrassed about this, but this was years ago, I saw Bruce Springsteen, and at one of the shows I went to, he said, like I was telling the people the other show. That is when your short-term memory being good really gets to you. So that's really true. I don't ever remember anything. The way I solve things is I use technology. Get yourself a camera phone. Take yourself pictures that will remind you of things. When your wife tells you to pick up milk, just pull out your whatever you want to get, a Trio or something. Take a picture of the refrigerator.
Okay? I have a pretty good camera phone already.
Sure.
That should work
for
you.
Got a camera phone. That is the technique that a lot of my friends are using. When you park somewhere, take a picture with your camera phone. Don't bother entering text. Take a picture of the sign that says, you know, 6A. This is where you're parked. When you
I don't forget, like, where I park, like, little, you know, kind of day-to-day mundane details like that. It's just more, like, specifically, my wife tells me we're going to have plans for a certain day, and I've always been, like, the antithesis of any kind of personal organization. Uh-huh.
How do you remember that Friday night we're going out to the movies with the Wilsons?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then, your camera phone has a calendar function.
Yeah, it does.
Use it for the love of Christ.
I'm too lazy.
There's no laziness involved.
Lazy.
We'll have a better. Are you? You're PC, right? You're not a Mac. You're PC.
I am cross-platform.
Okay.
I have these Macs and Linux boxes in my household.
Okay, force your wife to set up a calendar, subscribe to it, load it into your phone, and then promise yourself. Every day at the exact same time, before you get up from your desk at work, you're going to look at the calendar on your phone or on your computer screen. Computers have solved this problem, and you're a tech support guy. It's not laziness. You're choosing not to do it. This is willful. This is willful, Colin. This is willful. I'm just like your wife in so many ways it would make you sick. I'm just like your wife. I do not believe you. You are a liar. You're not forgetting. You're just not bothering. It's no work at all. Use the calendar function. And for stuff that is not important for time, take pictures. It stops you from taking notes. Snap the picture quickly. And then before you leave to go to work, and before you come back, you open up your phone, you open up the file, you look at the calendar, you look at the pictures, and you do the right thing, goddammit. You're a smart guy. Your wife's a good woman. Stop screwing up. Stop being a fool. I don't like to be harsh to callers, but you're someone who can take it. I'm not going to beat up the guy who can't get laid. I will beat the living daylights out of, because you can do better. First of all, throw out the goddamn pot. You're lying to me about that. You're smoking too much pot.
Only partake at a friend's house on rare occasion.
It's when you remember to go.
Well, see, we have a regular day with our friends to watch Sci-Fi Friday because they have a big, ginormous TV.
Okay, you know,
we have a movie night Friday. So you remember Sci-Fi Friday. What's the last thing you missed that pissed your wife off?
Well, this morning she and I were supposed to go sign some papers for a debt consolidation loan. I forgot to print out a check stub while I was at work yesterday.
Okay. That would have been solved really easily with your camera phone.
Or
really
staff.
Simple. Okay, well, I guess it's time for full disclosure.
Okay.
Now that I've yelled at you, Colin, I'm going to back down a little bit and tell you the truth. I have none of these skills. I can't do anything. The advice I'm giving you, I don't actually do. What I have is staff. I have three people whose full-time job
is to make sure that
I do all that, right? So if you're not willing to use the camera phone and do the calendar, you've got to make so much goddamn money that you can hire some guy or gal to do that for you. Now,
my wife is the one getting a college education right now while she's working full time. So I'm hoping that eventually I'll just drive her crazy to the point that she'll be the one making the money and can go forward with that plan.
Right, but if you're working on debt consolidation right now, you're not going to have that soon. I say camera phone and I'm sorry I raised my voice here. I'm telling you, Colin, and the people listening know this too. You're smoking more pot than you're letting on. You want that Sci-Fi Friday?
So you can't remember.
I only wish I was. Maybe I could justify this even more.
Colin, you don't wish you was. You wish you were. I wish I were smoking. Say it with me. I wish I were smoking more pot.
I wish I were smoking so much more pot.
It's were, it's not was. Let go. Let go of all your morals. Forget about the check stubs. But please, Colin, do not lose your grammar. I love you. That's why I'm telling you, I wish I were smoking more pot. If you've learned nothing else from this show, learn that that's the way to say you wish you were smoking more pot. We've got someone here, Renee. We got Renee, our first woman for this call. Is it a woman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hello, Renee. How are you?
Good, Dr. Finn. How you doing?
Oh, it's actually layperson Pam, but go on.
I have a question. It's always been bugging me, and nobody's been able to give me an answer.
Okay.
If we supposedly evolved from apes, then why are there apes? Like, was there a rogue family of apes that said, you know, I'm sick and tired of this tree climbing and picking out for bugs. We're just going to, like, break off the pack and start using tools and stuff. And would the rest of them laugh and go, yeah, crazy. Like, how did this happen?
Yeah, that's pretty close to right. That is just about the dead-on explanation.
The fact of the matter is that everybody that most of the information you get about evolution, you're getting from whack job creationists. We did not evolve from apes. Not in any way, shape, or form. Not any apes that are around today. We evolved from a common ancestor of the apes. So if you go back far enough, there was a time when the same species split in two. It probably didn't split in two because of a family deciding to use tools. It probably split in two by a geographical change. Some group goes over a mountain, it changes the breeding, and they split out, and there's also natural selection pressures that come in. Remember, the important part of Darwin is not evolution. Everybody knew about evolution. The important part of Darwin is natural selection. That if you have a species that's better, an individual that's better at breeding and has more offspring because of some mutation, they will pass those genes on, okay? It is keeping the genetics passed down from generation with small mistakes. That's how that works. So we do not, we are not from chimpanzees. We share an ancestor with chimpanzees. You got that?
Oh, because I was going to say, there's probably a whole group of monkeys going, you know, this just isn't really cool.
There certainly is. But they might very well have been over the mountain. Going, those guys went over the mountain. They kind of lost their heads. That's a Ask Layperson Fan. Renee's the last one. Thank you all so much for calling. Remember, everything we've said here, we do not know what the hell we're talking about. Except, Colin, you're smoking too much dope, bro. You're smoking too much dope.